afterward. I was lucky enough to have picked up a book called Tales from Ancient Greece when I was quite small. It was Love at First Meeting. Much as I went on to enjoy myths and legends from other cultures and peoples, there was something about these Greek stories that lit me up inside. The energy, humour, passion, particularity, and believable detail of the world held me enthralled from the very first. I hope they will do the same for you. Perhaps you already know some of the myths told here, but I especially welcome those who may never have encountered the characters and stories of Greek myth before. You don't need to know anything to listen to this book. It starts with an empty universe. Certainly no classical education is called for, no knowledge of the difference between nectar and nymphs, satyrs and centaurs, or the fates and the furies is required. There is absolutely nothing academic or intellectual about Greek mythology. It is addictive, entertaining, approachable, and astonishingly human. But where did they come from, these myths of ancient Greece? In the tangle of human history, we may be able to pull on a single Greek thread and follow it back, but by picking out only one civilization and its stories, we might be thought of as taking liberties with the true source of universal myth. Early human beings the world over wondered at the sources of power that fueled volcanoes, thunderstorms, tidal waves, and earthquakes. They celebrated and venerated the rhythm of the seasons, the procession of heavenly bodies in the night sky, and the daily miracle of the sunrise. They questioned how it might all have started. The collective unconscious of many civilizations has told stories of angry gods, dying and renewing gods, fertility goddesses, deities, demons, and spirits of fire, earth, and water. Of course, the Greeks were not the only people to weave a tapestry of legends and lore out of the puzzling fabric of existence. The gods of Greece, if we are archaeological and paleoanthropological about it all, can be traced back to the sky fathers, moon goddesses, and demons of the fertile crescent of Mesopotamia, today's Iraq, Syria, and Turkey. The Babylonians, Sumerians, Akkadians, and other civilizations there, which first flourished far earlier than the Greeks, had their creation stories and folk myths, which, like the languages that expressed them, could find ancestry in India, and thence back westwards to prehistory, Africa, and the birth of our species. But whenever we tell any story, we have to snip the narrative string somewhere to make a starting point. It is easy to do this with Greek mythology because it has survived with a detail, richness, life, and colour that distinguishes it from other mythologies. It was captured and preserved by the very first poets, and has come down to us in an unbroken line from the beginning of writing to the present day. While Greek myths have much in common with Chinese, Iranian, Indian, Mayan, African, Russian, Native American, Hebrew, and Norse myths, they are uniquely, as the writer and mythographer Edith Hamilton put it, the creation of great poets. The Greeks were the first people to make coherent narratives, a literature even, of their gods, monsters, and heroes. The arc of the myths follows the rise of mankind, our battle to free ourselves from the interference of the gods, their abuse, their meddling, their tyranny over human life and civilization. Greeks did not grovel before their gods. They were aware of their vain need to be supplicated and venerated, but they believed humans were their equal. Their myths understand that whoever created this baffling world with its cruelties, wonders, caprices, beauties, madness, and injustice must themselves have been cruel, wonderful, capricious, beautiful, mad, and unjust. The Greeks created gods that were in their image. Warlike, but creative. Wise, but ferocious. Loving, but jealous. Tender, but brutal. Compassionate, but vengeful. Mythos begins at the beginning, but does not end at the end. Had I included heroes like Oedipus, Perseus, Theseus, Jason, and Heracles, and the details of the Trojan War, the book would have been too heavy even for a Titan to pick up, or too long for an immortal to listen to. I'm only concerned here with telling the stories, not with explaining them or investigating the human truths and psychological insights that may lie behind them. The myths are fascinating enough in all their disturbing, surprising, romantic, comic, tragic, violent, and enchanting detail to stand on their own as stories. If, as you read, you cannot help wondering what inspired the Greeks to invent a world so rich and detailed in character and incident, and you find yourself pondering the deep truths that the myths embody, well, that is certainly part of the pleasure. And pleasure is what immersing yourself in the world of Greek myth is all about. I have assembled below a few thoughts on the nature of myth and a brief outline of some of the sources I've had recourse to in the writing of this book. I cannot repeat too often that it has never been my aim to interpret or explain the myths, only to tell them. I have, of course, had to play about with timelines in order to attempt a coherent narrative. My version of the ages of man varies from that of Hesiod, for example, in order more clearly to separate the eras of the rule of Kronos and the creation of man. So energetic was the explosion of stories that came from Greece 3,000 years ago that necessarily all sorts of events seemed to happen at once. If anyone tells me that I've got the stories wrong, I believe I'm justified in replying that they are, after all, fictions. In tinkering with the details, I am doing what people have always done with myths. In that sense, I feel that I'm doing my bit to keep them alive.